Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all that you are to us, God. We praise you, we magnify you, we lift you up, God. You're greatly to be praised. There's no other like you in heaven or earth or under the earth, God. Father, we thank you for your perfect divine design of all things that has ensured that you will dwell with your people and your people will dwell with you in perfect peace and perfect harmony with no death, no sickness, no disease after your son Jesus Christ has placed all enemies under his feet. I thank you for the complete and perfect work that he's doing now that you have given us the privilege of being able to share in as ministers of reconciliation, winning souls that you called before the foundations of the world to be your children, to dwell with you by sharing the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of your son, Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for this evening, someone receiving your son, Jesus Christ, as their master and Lord. I thank you for them being saved. I thank you for them submitting to your will for their life. I thank you for them taking hold on the word that they hear tonight and making you their Heavenly Father by making your son their master. I thank you for this right now in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We've been listening to the song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
Chain is broken. This worship is
Whenever things don't feel like you think they should, don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. You'll be shifting the atmosphere. Cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. And they tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say, take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. Breakthrough and healing. Our worship is shifting. Shifting.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is also a true vine, and we're going to be discussing that a little bit tonight too. But the reason we're going to be discussing this is because so many people in the body of Christ are so focused on things that have nothing to do with the kingdom of God, that their joy is being stolen by the devil. And we know that the thief, the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus Christ says that he comes that we might have life and might have it more than abundantly. So Jesus Christ was sent so that we could live a more than abundant life. First spiritually, then mentally, then emotionally, then physically, then financially, all of these things. And the price has been paid for us to walk in that more than abundant life. But we have to believe. We have to actively employ our faith and energize our love walk so that fear can be cast out and we could be of good courage and walk into the fullnesses of, or the fullness of, the promises of God. I want to look tonight specifically at two chapters of scripture that is going to steep us in exactly what God is wanting to tell us about the kingdom. And we're going to be looking at the Gospel of John chapter 14 tonight. We're going to be looking at the Gospel of John chapter 15 tonight, because Jesus Christ is disclosing to his disciples in these verses all that we need to know about the kingdom of God and about his call for us to live fruitful lives for God by being intentional and deliberate and real in what we do for God and how we do it. See, we know that loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength is one of the greatest things that we can do. It is the most important thing that we must do. And then secondly, we must love ourselves and then love others, even up to our enemies. And as we do this, we're supposed to be looking forward to being a part of God's grand design, God's perfect plan, that he will dwell with his people who love him, and his people who love him will dwell with him. And see, God is the only being in the entire universe that has foreknowledge. That means he knows what's going to happen in the future. He's the only being that is omniscient. That means he knows what's going to happen now in the present, and he knows what has happened, everything in the past. He is the only one who is all-knowing. That's what makes God God. Three qualities of God. He's all-knowing, that's omniscient. He's all-powerful, that's omnipotent. And he's omnipresent, he's present everywhere. God is spirit, and he is the only spirit who is that powerful. See, God refers to himself in the scripture as the God of all flesh, of every living being. God refers to himself also in his word as the God of all comfort, which is important to us because when we're going through our challenges in life, we can rejoice. Because we know that that's just God's way of getting us more patience, more experience, and more hope to prepare us for our future challenges, which are going to be greater than our challenges in the past that God has brought us out of. But to get back to tonight's teaching, looking here at John chapter 14, it's going to be discussing Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. And I want to go through section by section so that we can really put our hands on what God is saying here tonight. Jesus Christ, speaking to his disciples, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." I'm going to stop there real quick, because that word "also" is significant. See, many people around the world have no problem whatsoever with the idea of God, a supreme being that created all of this stuff. Everybody is cool with that, right? But when you say that God created all things through his son, Jesus Christ, and that nothing was created that was created except through him who was in the bosom of the Father, when you say that, then you set yourself apart from the world. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ is telling his disciples. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And that is the mandate to us as well. We have to believe also in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as well as believing in God, so that the way, the truth, and the life can be ours. The access point that gives us and makes us worthy to enter before the throne of God is his son, Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ said, "You believe in God, believe also in me." You're halfway there by believing in God. Believe also in me, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Then verse 2 says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." And see, this is important for you to understand, that Jesus Christ said, "In my Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places." And he said, "If that were not the case, I would not have told you that there are many dwelling places in my Father's house." And he said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." That is Jesus Christ comforting his disciples and letting them know that he's just beginning the work that is about to occur. And he's getting them ready. So verse 5, Thomas, the disciple we call Doubting Thomas, said to him, "Lord," he said, "Lord, we did not know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And see, this is important to understand, because when you understand that no one comes to the Father except through his son, Jesus Christ, then you know that what Jesus Christ said here to Doubting Thomas is true. When Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, no one comes to the Father except through me." That is so important to understand. There is order. And what people want to do is they want to go directly before the throne of God. And God says, "No, you got to bow down to my son, Jesus Christ, and make him your master. And then you can come before my throne." See, you have to remember that before Calvary, before the price was paid by the death, burial, and resurrection of God's son, Jesus Christ, only one man, the high priest of the children of Israel, was permitted to come before God once a year in the Holy of Holies to make sacrifices on behalf of God's people for all of their sin for the whole year. So once a year, one man was able to stand before God. And in case that man wasn't right, they had a rope tied around his leg so that when he went into the presence of God, if he wasn't right and he died in the presence of God, he could be pulled out because no one else could go in there because they would die too. And so the blood of Christ makes us worthy. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all of our sin. When we understand this, then we embrace Jesus Christ as the way to God, the truth of God, the life of God. And when Jesus Christ said, no one comes to the Father except through me, he's not playing around. And that's why we have to understand this. So look at what it says here in verse 7. It says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. And see, this is structurally something that people really have to understand, because if you don't slow it down, it might sound like a puzzle, but it's not a puzzle. He's saying exactly what he means here. He's saying, he who has seen me has seen the Father, so how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I did not speak on my own authority. See, Jesus Christ said he was not speaking on his own authority. He said, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Now, this is important for us to understand, because now it affects us in a similar manner that it affected Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus Christ was on earth, it was God in Christ reconciling the world to himself. After Calvary, after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, when God raised his son Jesus Christ from the dead, after 3 days and three nights in the stone tomb dead, he seated his son Jesus Christ at his right hand in heaven, gave him all power in heaven and earth and under the earth. And then Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within you and I. So then God was in Christ, and Christ was in us through the Holy Spirit. And now the words that we speak, we do not speak on our own authority, but the Father who dwells in us through the Holy Spirit with Jesus Christ does the works. And we speak on behalf of God. We speak the word of God. And so we have to take our faith to this level. So look at what it says in verse 12. It says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And see, this is so important to understand, because those of us who call ourselves believers, if we believe, the works that Jesus Christ did will also do. And greater works than these will we do, because Jesus Christ went to his Father. Jesus Christ went back. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So we ask God in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, so that the Father will be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you are not receiving answers to your prayer, start praying to your Heavenly Father, God Almighty, in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and watch your prayers the answer. Look at what Jesus Christ also promises in verse 15. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells in you and will be, he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. See, this is important. Jesus Christ says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And when you read in the Gospels, if you have a red letter edition of the Bible, and if you don't, wherever it says Jesus Christ said, just read after where it says Jesus Christ said, or read the words in red that Jesus Christ spoke, and do what he said, you will be blessed. And he says, I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to give you another helper. He's speaking of the Holy Spirit that's going to come after his death, burial, and resurrection. He's comforting his disciples here. And he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. See, Spirit wasn't available to be in them until after Calvary, until after the day of Pentecost, or on the day of Pentecost. So there's a lot that still has to happen after this time when he's speaking to them, but he's comforting them and letting them know, hey, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to come to you. So look at what it talks about here in verse 19. It says, a little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Speaking of the time in which we live now. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. That is how important it is to keep the commandments of Jesus Christ. And when we understand that we are living in the time that he was describing at that moment, where he says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And then also, he's speaking of this time when he says in verse 20, at that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. See, it's God in Christ and Christ in us. And we have the same mandate when Jesus Christ was on the earth, when it was God in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Well, now it's God in Christ and Christ in us reconciling the world back to God, the Holy Spirit that allows us to do that. So look at what it says here in verse 22. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but my Father's who sent me. And see, that is so important to understand. When Jesus Christ said, he who loves me is the one that does my commandments and keeps them. He who loves me will be loved of my Father, and I will love them and manifest myself to him. Isn't that something to really desire, to have Jesus Christ manifest himself to us? And he promises this to us. And then Judas said to him, not Judas Iscariot, the other Judas, he He said, Lord, how is it that you're going to manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me and keeps my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. See, Jesus Christ and his Father will come and make their home with those who keep his word, who keep Jesus Christ's commandments. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So you have to understand that Jesus Christ is not speaking of his own authority. He's speaking in the authority of his Father who sent him. So when we speak, we are speaking in the authority of our Master Jesus Christ, who is speaking the word that was given to him by his Father. So look at what it says in verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. He's comforting his disciples here. But the Helper, now he's speaking about the future, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And see, this goes back to the saying that is written where it says, he who is sent is not greater than the one who sent him. He says, these things I've spoken to you while I'm present with you. Jesus Christ is speaking in the moment to his disciples. But then he's telling them of the future. He says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So he's telling them what's going to happen. He's getting them prepared. And see, in our life, God oftentimes does the very same thing. He will give us a heads up before what's coming next. And there's always something coming next. But look at the love in this. In verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. And this is why they would have been afraid or troubled. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. See, we have to embrace this promise that Jesus Christ said, I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to dwell within you. Look at what it says in verse 29. It says, and now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk with you much, for the ruler of this world is coming. He's talking about the devil now, who was the ruler of this world. The ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. See, this is so important to understand. Jesus Christ loved his disciples so much that before the trials and the tribulation of the crucifixion took place, he communicated all of these spiritual facts to them about the kingdom so that they would not be distraught. They would not be ignorant. They would not be uninformed. And we need to be informed, just like they needed to be informed, so that we could be at peace, so that we could walk in love, so that we could intentionally obey the commandments of Jesus Christ. And it's the law of love that we serve, because it's the law of love that Jesus Christ exhibited in always deferring to his Heavenly Father, God Almighty. He said, for my Father is greater than I. He said, I'm going to the Father, and it's going to be better for you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And so we have to see that God has a plan. God has a design. God has an order. This isn't make pretend. This isn't make believe. This isn't some Greek myth that somebody made up and everybody agreed this is what we're going to believe because we decided this is what we're going to believe. This is real. The kingdom of God is real. And we are privileged to have been called to be a part of this awesome kingdom, because chose us to dwell with him, and he knew we were going to receive his son Jesus Christ as our master and Lord. God knew that we were going to obey and we were going to do the commands that his son Jesus Christ charged us with. So I want to go to chapter 15 of the Gospel of John, where Jesus Christ paints a great picture of what is going on with us now that we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us, after we make him our master and Lord and we receive salvation. For those who are not saved, you want to read Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. You'll want to read Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. You'll want to read Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 13. And you will be blessed and you will be saved if you do what the Bible tells you to do in those verses. But here, I want to discuss in John chapter 15 what Jesus Christ says about himself and about his Heavenly Father. So look at what it says in John 15. Jesus Christ says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, vine dresser. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. I want to stop there real quick for a moment. Jesus Christ is painting an analogy, picture. He's saying that he is the true vine and his Father is the vine dresser, the husbandman, the one who cares for the vine. The vine dresser is trying to increase the yield. He's trying to increase the quality and the number of grapes that the grapevine is producing. And then what extends from the vine is like the main stalk or the trunk. But what extends from the vine are the branches. In verse 2, it says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, every branch that is in Christ that doesn't bear fruit, he taketh away. Well, and then it says, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth. He prunes it, that it may bring forth much more fruit. Now, this is important because the vine dresser, who is God, who is Jesus Christ's Father, is pruning the vines, or pruning the branches that extend from the vine. The vine is Jesus Christ, the main stalk, right? And then the branches that go out and produce the grapes, that's us. He's talking to his disciples here. Now, we know that there is one disciple among them, Judas Iscariot, who's not bearing any fruit. We know he's going to be taken away, right? And it says, but every branch in me that beareth fruit, he prunes, he purgeth it, that it may produce more fruit. there is a principle here that I didn't understand when I was a young man, maybe 26, 27, and I was planting my first garden with all of these pumpkins and squash and watermelon, all of these big produce items, right? And I dug this irrigation trench, and I'd go out every night, fill it with water, and I would care for it as God cared for his vineyard here. And my father-in-law came down, and he looked at my work with my garden, and he also is quite the gardener himself, and he said, hey, you might want to consider cutting back these pumpkin vines and these watermelon vines and these squash vines, because the vines are long and the leaves are big, but all of that energy that's going into the vine and the leaves is energy that's not going into the fruit. And so you're going to end up with tiny watermelon and tiny pumpkins and tiny squash. And this is my first time at it, and I didn't listen to my father-in-law because I didn't believe him. It was hard to believe because I'm looking at the results of all my faithful watering and weeding and planting, and these vines are huge, and the leaves are huge and impressive. But what he was telling me is that it's the fruit that matters. It is the produce that comes from the vine, from the branches that matter. And if I didn't cut those branches back, that all of that energy that was coming from the water and coming from the sun was going to be directed to these leaves and the vine instead of the fruit. And the reason you're planting any plant is to produce fruit. So look at what it says here. And the end of that story is I ended up with these tiny pumpkins and tiny watermelon and tiny squash. So he says, every branch that beareth fruit, he prunes, he purges it, he cuts it back so that it may bring forth more fruit. In our lives, oftentimes we are humbled when God removes things from us that we think we just have to have, that we absolutely must have. And it can be a humbling experience. It can be humiliating sometimes. Sometimes we might not understand the things that God removes from us, but God is trying to get glory from us. God is trying to produce fruit, more fruit in our life. And so when he takes away those things that glorify the vine itself, the big leaves, the long vine, he's allowing our fruit to be increased. He's allowing us to be more fruitful, because that's what he's trying to get from our life, is fruitfulness, Christian fruitfulness. Your fruitful walk with Christ is supposed to be producing love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control. That's what you're supposed to be seeing in your Christian life on a regular basis. Look what it says in verse 3. It says, now are ye clean. Now it says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Jesus Christ is saying to his disciples, you're clean through the word that I've spoken to you. Verse 4, he says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. So Jesus Christ is telling his disciples, if you abide in me, and you will be fruitful. He said, the branch can't bear fruit by itself without being connected to the vine. If you remove the branch from the vine will die, it'll wither away, and it will not bear fruit. but look at what it says. Jesus Christ says in verse 5, he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. The branches extend from the vine. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And Jesus Christ is making a point to his disciples. He's letting them know that you can't do anything without me. You must be connected to Jesus Christ, the true vine. And when Jesus Christ was saying before, he was the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father except through him. That is absolutely so. And so we as the branches have to stay connected to Jesus Christ by doing the commandments that he gave us in the Gospels, so that we can learn to walk out the law of love in our life. So look what it says here after he tells them, without me, you can do nothing. In verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, I'm going to make a point here, because so many people have this idea that people who are saved can become unsaved. And what you really are looking at are people who have not repented and turned away from serving sin. People who have not been water baptized, people in the name of Jesus Christ, people who have not believed to speak in tongues, people who have not believed to prophesy, people who have not called on the name of Jesus, people who have not confessed with their mouth that Jesus Christ is their master and Lord, and people who do not believe in their heart that God raised his son Jesus Christ from the dead. Those who are not saved are not saved. And yet, the tares are among the assembly of the saints every Sunday, every Wednesday. Those who do not bear fruit, those who say they believe, like Judas Iscariot, and yet, because of their unbelief, they take things into their own hands and do the unthinkable, or they find themselves working against the purposes of God. They are not producing the fruit of love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control in their life. And so it said, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. The end of people who are in church who do not believe and have not repented is the same as those who are in the world and don't believe and have not repented. What it says in verse 7, it says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Jesus Christ promises that if you stay connected to him, the true vine, and allow his words to abide in you, whatever you ask, you'll ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Verse 8 says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. See, he's calling for his disciples to be connected to him and to bear much fruit. That means we have to allow ourselves to be pruned. We have to allow ourselves to be humbled in the presence of the Lord so that he can exalt us in due time. We're exalted as we produce in our life exceedingly much fruit. Living a fruitful Christian life is the point. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control is the point. So verse 8 says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. See, God is glorified when we bear much fruit. Jesus Christ said, my Father is glorified that ye bear much fruit. We are the disciplined followers of Jesus Christ when we bear much fruit for his Father, God Almighty, who is our Heavenly Father also. What it says in verse 9, it says, as the Father hath loved me, Jesus Christ said, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And that is what we have to do. We have to continue in the love of Jesus Christ. Verse 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So Jesus Christ obeyed God in all things, even unto death. And I know that's a hard thing for us to even begin to comprehend. But throughout our life, God is always preparing us for what's coming next. And unless Jesus Christ comes first, ultimately, at some point in time, each of us must meet death. And God is going to prepare us for that time so that we can die as we live. We can live for God. We can die for God. It says in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. See, Jesus Christ kept his Father's commandments and obeyed his Father even unto death. We remember the prayer where he prayed to God, please remove this cup from me, before he was to be crucified. And when he heard no response, he understood that he must move forward. And he said, not my will, but thy will be done, O God. And that's what we have to prepare ourselves to say in every situation. And it's not that we give up. It's not that we quit. It's that we know that when our hour has come, we're going to try to get glory for God in that hour by allowing all of the love, all of the joy, all of the peace, all of the gentleness, all of the meekness, all of the kindness, all of the patience, all of the faithfulness, all of the self-control to be manifest in our lives at that point of departure from this worldly existence. Because God's going to get great glory in that. And we're going to be able to encourage others to let them know that God is faithful and his word is true. Verse 11 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. See, Jesus Christ is always speaking about his joy remaining within his disciples. And that word disciple means disciplined follower. If you're a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ, then his joy should remain in you. And his joy should be your joy, and your joy should be full. Verse 12 said, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. See, when we seek to love each other the way that Jesus Christ loved us, there is no lack. We make sure that one another is cared for. And as the Holy Spirit leads us, we give. And the overflow from our life pours into the lives of the people immediately around us. Look at what it says in verse 13 of John chapter 15. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus Christ says to his disciples, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. So Jesus Christ is telling us, hey, you're my friends if you do what I command you to do. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. See, Jesus Christ hears from his Father, shares with us, who he refers to as his friends, even though he is our master. And whatever he hears from God, he makes known to us so that we're not walking in darkness, so that we can be intentional about the things that we do for our master and Lord Jesus Christ, which is ultimately things that God gives him to give us to get done. So look at what it says in verse 16. You've not chosen me, Jesus Christ says, but I have chosen you and ordained you. See, that you've been chosen, you've been ordained, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. See, God's desires are Christ's desires. And Jesus Christ knows that God said that those who delight in his word will receive the desires of their heart, meaning that your desires are going to be God's desires. And those things are going to come to pass. The things that God desires, you will desire. And what you ask from God for the purpose of bringing those things to pass is going to take place. He said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. See, remember when I said all of us who are saved are ministers of reconciliation? We're all ministers. We've all been called to reconcile the world back to God by introducing them to the death, burial, and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. This is very specific. And he said, I've chosen you, I've ordained you, that you should go out and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it you. So if you are walking a fruitful Christian life and producing love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control in your life, then God is going to give you whatever you ask in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Look at what it said in verse 17. It says, these things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. For all these things they will do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. See, Jesus Christ is saying, they don't know my heavenly Father, God Almighty, who sent me, so they're going to do the same thing they did to me to you. And he's telling them before the crucifixion here so that they're ready, they're prepared. They understand. And he says, the world doesn't know the one who sent me. They don't know God. They don't know the Father. Look at verse 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin, no excuse. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. This is a really big verse here in John chapter 15, verse 23. Jesus Christ says, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. So if you hate Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you hate God also. Verse 24, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. See, Jesus Christ is letting them know, these people hate me and my Father. Those who hate Jesus Christ, the Son of God, hate God also. They are God haters. Look at what it says in verse 25. But this cometh to pass, that the world might be fulfilled, that the word might be fulfilled, that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, he's speaking of the Holy Spirit, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. He's speaking to his disciples, of course. See, so all of this is intentional. All of this is by design. All of this is to fulfill the purpose of God. So I just want to encourage each and every one of you to embrace the purposes of God in your life. Embrace Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as the way, the truth, and the life in your life. Stay connected to the true vine, and fulfill and do and realize the commandments of Jesus Christ in your life and master that love walk, that law of love, that loves God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, that loves yourself, that loves your neighbor and others, even up to your enemies. And allow yourself to live a fruitful Christian life so that you are producing love, you are producing joy, you are producing peace, you are producing gentleness, you are producing meekness, you are producing kindness, you are producing patience, you are producing faithfulness, and you are producing self-control in your life, and people can see what it looks like to be a Christian. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's going out tonight. I thank you for you blessing someone mightily with what they've heard. And I thank you for you getting all the glory tonight. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And as always, from Spirit Alive Network and your host, Lester Carver, be ye transformed.
been here for no one.